Imagine a factory floor on March 31st, 2026, just outside of Shanghai.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
So the air is thick with the mechanical hum of conveyor belts, and a humanoid robot rolls off the line. It looks, virtually identical to the hundreds of others assembled that exact same day.
Right.
But this specific unit gets a special serial number stamped onto its chassis. It is the 10,000th unit produced by this company.
The milestone they call coming off the line. And it's a completely staggering image when you really consider the timeline here. I mean, just a few short years ago, building a single bipedal robot was essentially an artisanal craft. It was done by teams of PhDs in pristine university labs, hand machining custom parts over months.
Oh, exactly.
But now we are looking at continuous assembly lines, just churning them out by the thousands.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are unpacking a highly detailed 2026 report on the global robotics industry.
And it is a fascinating report.
It really is. Our mission is to cut through the viral social media hype, the curated clips of shiny metal humanoids doing backflips or perfectly folding laundry, and look at the hard, unvarnished truth of the global market as it stands right now.
Right, because the reality is very different from the hype.
So different. And to do that, we're exploring three massive companies that are basically dominating this space: Agibot, Unitree, and UBTech.
Yeah, the big three.
Right. And they are attacking the future of human labor using three entirely different and honestly, sometimes completely contradictory strategies.
Which is exactly what makes this specific 2026 report so illuminating for you to understand. By looking at their manufacturing data, their actual factory deployments, and their financial burn rates.
The actual numbers, yeah.
Right? The real numbers. We can finally see what these staggering production numbers actually mean for the real economy.
So let's start with that factory floor in Shanghai, the company celebrating its 10,000th unit.
Yeah, Agibot.
Right, Agibot. Because when I think of humanoid robots, my mind immediately goes to the big US players like Tesla with its Optimus project, or Boston Dynamics, or Figure AI.
Sure, that's what most people think of.
But the sources point to a completely different player creating this massive volume shock. So who is Agibot, and how many of these machines are they actually moving?
Well, the volume shock is definitely coming from Agibot. They're a Chinese startup that was only founded in 2023.
Wait, 2023? That's so recent.
I know. And fast forward to 2025, and according to the market research firm Omdia, Agibot shipped 5,168 humanoid units.
Wow.
Yeah, that single figure represents 39% of the entire global market, which covered around 13,000 units that year.
That's massive.
It is. Nearly four out of every 10 humanoid robots produced on Earth came from this one company that is barely 3 years old.
That is an insane market share, especially when you compare it to those American companies I just mentioned.
Right.
Based on these sources, heavily funded US companies, like Figure AI or Agility Robotics, they were producing roughly 150 units each in 2025.
Barely a fraction.
Exactly. And Tesla's units are mostly just for internal testing. So how does a three-year-old startup scale up to 5,000 units so incredibly fast? I mean, it feels like they skipped a whole decade of development.
They bypassed traditional development largely because of their leadership structure, specifically a co-founder named Peng Zhiyue.
Okay. Who is he?
So he was originally recruited into Huawei's famous Genius Youth program.
Oh, right. I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's this initiative designed to pull in absolute top-tier, unorthodox tech talent, often like brilliant influencers or open source pioneers, and just give them massive resources.
So he comes in and shakes things up.
Exactly. Peng brought a total paradigm shift to Agibot. Historically, a robotics company tries to build a tightly integrated finished product.
Right, like a closed system.
Yeah. Every joint, every sensor, every line of code is locked down. But Peng looked at that and decided he didn't want to build a finished robot at all. He wanted to build a computer on wheels.
So instead of trying to build like the tightly controlled Apple ecosystem where one company makes both the hardware and the software, Agibot is trying to build the Android operating system of the robotics world.
That's a perfect way to put it.
They want to provide the base and just let everyone else build the apps.
That is the core of their strategy. Agibot deliberately open-sourced crucial parts of their hardware specifications.
Interesting.
Yeah. They developed a universal operating system so that an external developers, say a university research team or a private industrial lab, could purchase the Agibot base and simply bolt on their own custom robotic hands.
Oh, wow. Or attach a highly specialized vision sensor, right?
Precisely. They're selling a platform, not a finished tool.
And reading through the sources, that platform strategy triggers something massive on the manufacturing side. It's an economic concept referred to as the bomb drop, the bill of materials curve.
Yes, the BOM drop is crucial here.
Can you walk through how open sourcing the base actually drives down the physical cost of making the robot?
Sure. So the bill of materials is simply the total cost of all the physical parts needed to build one machine.
Right.
For humanoid robots, the absolute most expensive components are the high-precision actuators.
The joints, basically.
Think of actuators as the robot's muscles and joints. Yeah. The specialized motors and gears that allow for smooth, human-like movement. Historically, these had to be custom ordered in very small batches, which made them astronomically expensive.
Because it's bespoke manufacturing.
Exactly. But Agibot realized that to force the Bowman to drop, they had to cross specific production volume thresholds.
Meaning, if you only order 20 motors, you pay a massive premium. But if you order 100,000, the price just plummets.
You've got it. Up to 200 units, a company is really just prototyping. At 1,000 units, you can finally take your highly paid research engineers off the assembly line and let professional factory workers take over.
Makes sense.
But the magic threshold in this specific industry is 5,000 units. Once Agibot crossed that 5,000-unit mark in late 2025, their volume was finally high enough that they could standardize their actuator designs.
And then what?
And then plug directly into China's massive pre-existing electric vehicle supply chains.
Wait, they tapped into the EV market.
They did. I mean, think about it. An electric vehicle relies on advanced motors, battery management systems, and complex wiring harnesses.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah. Agibot took the massive economies of scale that already existed for building electric cars and essentially redirected them into building robotic joints. By doing that, they literally halved the manufacturing cost of their flagship Yongzheng A2 model in a single year.
Taking EV scale and applying it to humanoids, that makes perfect sense. And obviously, the financial backing they have to pull this off is just staggering.
Oh, yeah. The numbers are huge.
The report notes they raised 3 billion RMB, hit a 15 billion RMB valuation, which is what, around 2.1 billion US dollars?
Roughly, yeah.
And generated over a billion RMB in revenue in 2025 alone. But wait, I'm looking at their investor list here. BYD, Tencent, and JD.com.
Yes.
Aren't BYD and JD the massive logistics and auto companies that would be using these robots?
They are the ultimate corporate buyers, exactly.
Well, that feels less like a real organic market and more like a subsidized beta test.
It's a very fair point.
I mean, if your biggest investors are the ones buying your product to put in their own factories, how do we know if these 5,000 units are actually solving real problems or if we are just watching tech giants subsidize an incredibly expensive science experiment?
That is the fundamental vulnerability in Agibot's strategy. It is entirely fair to be skeptical about their pure independent profitability at this stage.
Right.
Many of those units are engaging in what we call proof of concept work. They are logging massive amounts of teleoperation data.
Teleoperation being when a human worker wears like a VR suit and physically puppeteers the robot to teach its AI how to perform tasks, right?
Exactly. Agibot created a dataset called Agibot World with 1 million hours of this teleoperation data to teach their systems how to link vision, language, and physical action.
Okay.
But you are absolutely right to question if the bottom line market demand is actually real yet. And that skepticism brings us to a massive gap in the industry.
Which is what?
Well, if Agibot is relying on these massive billion-dollar corporate buyers to absorb their volume, what happens to the smaller players?
Oh, sure.
The university researchers or the smaller AI labs who definitely can't afford a heavy industrial contract, who is solving the problem for the bottom of the market?
And that perfectly sets up the second company in our deep dive, which is Unitree.
Yes, Unitree.
If Agibot is the platform giant, Unitree is the scrappy disruptor. The report notes they were founded in 2016 by a young engineer named Wang Jing Sing with only 100,000 RMB.
Which is only about 14,000 US dollars.
That's nothing for a hardware startup. Fast forward to 2025, and they have nearly 500 employees generating 1.7 billion RMB in revenue. And shockingly, in an industry that is famous for just lighting cash on fire, Unitree has been profitable since 2020.
Yeah, they achieved early profitability, mostly by selling those four-legged robot dogs you might have seen online.
Oh, yeah, the ones doing the synchronized dancing in those videos?
Exactly those.
Yeah.
But their move into the bipedal humanoid market is what caused an absolute shockwave in February 2025.
They do.
They launched their G1 humanoid robot on JD's e-commerce platform. And the disruption wasn't necessarily the hardware itself. The disruption was the price tag.
99,000 RMB, which converts to roughly 14,000 US dollars.
Right. Just a year or two prior to this launch, purchasing a functional humanoid research platform would cost the lab well over a million RMB.
Wow.
Unitree took that standard entry price and slashed it to 1/10. It was the very first time a commercial, ready-to-use humanoid dropped into the $10,000 range.
How is that even physically possible? We just talked about how Edgebot needed global EV supply chains just to have their costs, but Unitree is dropping the price by 90%.
Mm-hmm.
They must be stripping something out.
Oh, they are stripping a lot out. First, they radically reduce the size. The G1 stands about 127 centimeters tall, so roughly 4'2", and weighs only 35 kilograms.
So child size, basically.
Yeah. They also remove the ultra-expensive high-end optical sensors and replace them with more standard off-the-shelf fission systems.
Right.
Most importantly, they develop their own proprietary, highly integrated joint motors that are just cheap to mass produce, rather than relying on third-party suppliers.
But even with those cheaper parts, the sources say the G1 still has incredible dexterity. Like, it boasts up to 43 degrees of freedom.
It does.
And just to clarify that term for you, degrees of freedom refers to the number of independent ways a robotic joint can move.
Right.
Like, the human arm, for example, has about 7 degrees of freedom from the shoulder down to the wrist. So a robot with 43 across its entire body is highly articulate.
Highly articulate and completely affordable. And that combination is really the genius of Unitree's entire business model.
How so?
They aren't trying to put the G1 on a heavy manufacturing line to build cars. They are heavily targeting the research and education tier.
Oh, I see.
When a university robotics lab buys a $14,000 G1, those graduate students immediately start writing their custom algorithms on Unitree's hardware.
Naturally, yeah.
Once that software is written and optimized for the G1's specific motors and balance profile, that lab is functionally locked in. They are not going to throw away 2 years of coding just to switch to a competitor's robot.
I totally see the play here. This is exactly the DJI drone playbook.
Exactly.
DJI dominated the global drone market by making the hardware so incredibly cheap, capable, and reliable that they basically turned the entire global academic community into their personal unpaid R&D department.
That's brilliant.
The universities get a cheap testing platform, and Unitree gets a massive, continuous loop of real-world operational data fed back to them to improve their next generation of robots.
The lock-in effect is extraordinarily powerful. It drove Unitree to ship over 5,500 bipedal units in 2025.
Wow.
It allowed them to pass their IPO screening in a record 73 days on the Shanghai Star Market, which is essentially China's equivalent of the NASDAQ, focused on high-tech companies.
Right.
And the ultimate validation of this academic lock-in strategy came when NVIDIA's CEO, Jensen Huang, specifically chose Unitree as the official reference hardware for NVIDIA's new Isaac GR0T robotics platform.
That's a huge endorsement. But we do need to mention that there is a significant geopolitical friction point emerging here in the sources.
Yes, definitely.
The sources highlight that U.S. think tanks have alleged parts of Unitree's early funding might be tied to the Chinese military.
Right, those allegations are out there.
And that has led to proposed U.S. legislation like the G-Guard Act, which aims to ban the import of Chinese humanoids entirely. Now, obviously, we're strictly analyzing the market dynamics here, not the politics, but purely from a business standpoint, getting locked out of the U.S. market is a massive hurdle.
It is a critical risk factor for their global expansion, no doubt.
Right.
But beyond the geopolitics, there is a serious physical limitation to Unitree's strategy as well.
Right. Let's talk about the physics of it. We established the G1 weighs 35 kilograms and is the size of a fourth grader.
Right.
It's a brilliant strategy to lock in a university lab, but if I run a heavy automotive plant, a 35 kilogram plastic and light metal robot is going to get absolutely crushed.
Completely destroyed.
Right. It would melt or snap in half the second it tried to lift heavy steel in a greasy 40-degree factory environment.
It wouldn't last a day. The physical realities of heavy manufacturing require a completely different engineering philosophy.
Yeah.
You cannot rely on cheap, mass-produced lab bots to torque bolts on an assembly line. To survive those brutal industrial conditions, you have to take an entirely different, highly specialized, and frankly, incredibly expensive path.
Enter UbiTech.
Yes, the heavyweight.
They are the heavyweight of this deep dive, both literally and figuratively. They were the very first humanoid company listed on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. And looking at their specs, they aren't going for cheap, and they certainly aren't going for open source. They are building custom, heavy-duty, blue-collar robots designed specifically for the worst jobs in an auto plant.
Yeah, their flagship model is called the Walker S2. Everything about its design is built for survival on the factory floor.
And the price shows it.
Oh, the cost reflects that heavily. Mm-hmm. It runs about 299,000 RMB, or roughly $41,000 USD.
Wow.
Almost three times the price of Unitree's G1. The Walker S2 is full-sized. It stands 176 centimeters tall, weighs 70 kilograms, and is highly reinforced.
Built like a tank.
It has to be. To carry heavy payloads while operating amidst severe electromagnetic interference, which is constantly generated by the heavy machinery in an auto plant.
The sources outline this unbelievable scene at a Zeekr 5G smart factory.
Oh, this part is crazy.
Yeah. Zeekr makes premium electric vehicles, and they have a fleet of these Walker S2 robots integrated directly into their production line. And the environment inside the specific factory hits a grueling 42 degrees Celsius, almost 108 degrees Fahrenheit.
Which is brutal.
Human workers physically struggle to maintain focus in that heat. But the S2s are running 247. And the wildest part, when their batteries run low, they don't stop and wait for a human to plug them in.
Right.
They autonomously navigate themselves to a charging station, swap out their own massive battery packs in under 3 minutes, and walk right back to the assembly line.
That autonomous battery swap is a crucial milestone.
Why is that the big deal?
In factory automation, human supervision is the ultimate bottleneck. Mm. If a human has to constantly monitor and charge the machine, you haven't actually saved any labor costs.
That makes sense.
But what's even more fascinating about Ubitech isn't just their thermal shielding or their battery hardware, it's their software architecture, which they call BrainNet.
Let's spend some time on BrainNet, because reading how this works felt like pure science fiction.
It really does.
They aren't just selling individual autonomous robots, they're essentially selling a coordinated hive mind. How does this actually function on a real factory floor?
Well, in the BrainNet architecture, the cognition of the robot is physically split. You have a super brain sitting remotely in the cloud.
Okay, the cloud brain.
Right. That cloud brain communicates with the factory's overarching software. It takes the macro production orders, say, assembling 100 car doors today, and figures out the logistics. This split system allows dozens of heavy robots to coordinate seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
If one robot detects a dropped wrench on the floor, the edge cerebellum processes the obstacle, alerts the cloud brain, and the entire hive mind adapts its logistics instantly.
It is an absolute marvel of engineering, and they've secured massive contracts because of it. I'm seeing over 800 million RMB in orders for 2025.
They have.
But turning to the financials in this report, there is a massive red flag waving over Ubitech. They are bleeding cash at an alarming rate.
The cash burn is severe. Very severe.
They lost 1.1 billion RMB in 2024 alone. They have a five-year cumulative deficit sitting at 5 billion RMB. They are pouring over 25% of their total revenue right back into research and development.
Yeah.
Why is this specific model so astronomically expensive to maintain?
Because of the customization trap.
Customization trap.
Yeah. Think about it. Agibot makes a universal base. Unitree makes a standardized, cheap bot for universities. But Ubitech has to customize their robots for the specific idiosyncratic layout of every single factory they deploy in.
Oh, right. Because every factory is different.
Exactly. Legacy auto plants were built for humans, not robots.
Mm.
So Ubitech's engineers have to spend months on site programming the Walker S2 to navigate specific stairwells, reach specific awkward angles, and integrate with legacy safety systems.
Okay, I want to use an analogy to recap our three giants here.
Let's hear it.
So Agibot is building the Android operating system to let everyone build apps. Unitree is pumping out incredibly cheap consumer laptops to capture the research market.
Right.
But Ubitech is hand-building Formula One cars. And just like an F1 team has to completely retune the suspension and aerodynamics of the car for every single specific curve of a new racetrack, Ubitech has to retune their robots for every single factory.
That perfectly captures the dynamic. Mm-hmm. And the F1 model requires massive continuous investment.
Which begs the elephant in the room question. Can a business actually survive if it requires massive stock market cash injections every few months just to keep the lights on?
It's a tough spot.
I mean, is this highly customized, heavy-duty factory model fundamentally a money pit?
That question pulls back the curtain on the entire 2026 humanoid industry. Ubitech's massive cash burn is a symptom of a much larger illusion in the market right now.
An illusion.
Yeah. And it's an illusion that you really need to understand if we want to separate the hype from reality.
You're talking about the numbers illusion, because when you just skim the raw data in these sources, the mirage is highly convincing.
Very convincing.
If you add up the 2026 production targets of all these companies, you get over 100,000 robots. BYD alone announced they want 20,000 humanoids working in their own factories.
Right.
It sounds like the transition is already complete. Yeah. The human workers have packed up and gone home.
But the central thesis of our source material warns against exactly that assumption. To understand the real economy, you have to separate three distinctly different concepts.
Which are?
Production, delivery, and commercial deployment.
Okay, so making the robot, handing it over to the buyer, and the buyer actually using it to do real profitable work.
Exactly. Of the 13,000 or so units shipped globally in 2025, the hard truth is that the vast majority of them are not doing actual productive blue-collar labor.
Right. And the definitive proof of that is right inside Unitree's own financial prospectus.
Yes. Let's look at their numbers.
We talked earlier about how they shipped over 5,500 robots, but their internal documents reveal that 73.6% of those sales are strictly for research and education.
Just going into labs.
Exactly. Only 9% go to what they classify as industry. And even within that tiny 9% sliver, the sources estimate that 50 to 70% of those industrial robots are essentially expensive PR stunts.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They are standing in hotel lobbies greeting guests or acting as novel tour guides at tech conventions.
They are on an assembly line torquing bolts and replacing human wages.
Not at all.
When you filter out the university labs, the PR stunts, and the internal beta tests, the sources estimate that the number of true 247 commercial deployments humanoids actually replacing blue-collar workers on a factory floor and generating a net profit is currently only in the hundreds globally.
The hundreds, out of thousands produced.
Right. What we are actually experiencing in 2026 is a giant global proof of concept phase.
And this is exactly why this deep dive matters. The next time you are scrolling online and you see a viral clip of a robot flawlessly moving boxes in a warehouse, you really need to look past the shiny metal.
Look at the background, yeah.
Exactly. Ask yourself, is this a self-sustaining worker? Or is this a subsidized beta test operating in a highly controlled, geo-fenced corner of a factory, heavily funded by venture capital, just to see if the machine's joints hold up over a six-month period?
That's the right question to ask. Breaking the mass production barrier, what Agibot did by tapping into the EV supply chains to have the beyond cost, is a historic engineering achievement. We should not diminish that.
No, it's incredible.
But the ultimate test isn't making them cheaply. The real trial is happening in the second half of 2026.
The moment of truth.
Exactly. That is when we will finally see if these massive fleets of hardware can prove they are genuinely more cost-efficient, more reliable, and more adaptable than human labor.
And without relying on constant investor lifelines to cover their massive R&D deficits.
Exactly. They have to stand on their own financially.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to thank you for joining us to explore the true complex landscape of the 2026 humanoid robot market.
It's been a great discussion.
We've cut through the social media hype to see Agibot's open platform volume shock, Unitree's aggressive $14,000 price disruption, and UbiTech's heavy-duty high-stakes gamble on the 42-degree factory floor.
Three very different visions of the future.
But before we go, I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over on your own. Something that builds on the economic realities we've uncovered today. If a company like Unitree ultimately succeeds, if they can take that $14,000 price point and apply it to a heavy-duty model, permanently driving the price of a highly capable, tireless humanoid worker down to the cost of a used sedan, what happens to the global economic model?
That's a huge question.
For decades, the fundamental mechanism of global trade has been wealthy nations outsourcing their manufacturing to developing countries in search of the cheapest possible human labor.
Right.
But if a robot is fundamentally cheaper, requires absolutely no sleep, doesn't need workplace safety regulations, and is vastly more efficient than the lowest paid human worker anywhere on Earth, well, the very concept of outsourcing might disappear overnight.
Completely vanish.
You wouldn't need to ship parts across the ocean to find cheap labor. You would just build a dark, unlit factory in your own backyard, staffed entirely by a fleet of $14,000 machines.
Wow.
So the next time you picture that 10,000th unit rolling off the conveyor belt in Shanghai, don't just ask what specific job it's going to take. Ask how it's going to completely redraw the entire geopolitical map.